Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and we're going to hear from Alice and Becky on a program that we love, and they'll start with a call here. But before we get to them, I want to remind everybody what's going on right now. Intimacy in Marriage is tomorrow in Washington, D.C., and you can still sign up, I think, if you'll call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. So many people, they didn't know what was possible in their marriage until they went to Intimacy in Marriage. Others, it was dead. The marriage was over, and it wasn't over because they went to Intimacy in Marriage. So I can tell you, you're not going to be disappointed if you will get there. Now, also, let me just mention, Every Man's Battle is online August the 6th, and we've got our Courageous Parenting workshop, and this one is on transforming the relationship you have with your adult sons and daughters. I have to tell you, almost every call that I deal with from one of our supporters, donors, it's about an adult child. And I've really enjoyed dealing with that, and I think we're going to be able to help you in a great way if that's something that you're dealing with. Now, I also want to mention the Lumina experience. New Life, you know, we started Women of Faith years ago. 5 million women came in arenas everywhere at Museum of the Bible. But it's in an auditorium that has everything you could imagine, a sound system like no other, lights, cameras, action. And we've got these great, great speakers. First of all, Lauren Green McAfee. And she has such a heart for encouraging other people. And she did this great book called Not What You Think, Why the Bible Might Be Nothing We Expected, but Everything We Need. She's a great author, great speaker. And then we've got Jen. You're going to have to edit this. Doggone it. Jen. Okay. And then we've got Jen Wilkin, best-selling author. And, you know, her whole heart is seeing others become articulate and committed followers to Christ. It's going to be great. Nicole C. Mullen herself, her song, Redeemer, Song of the Year, she's the first African-American female to win Songwriter of the Year. It's going to be a great experience, and I just hope and pray that you'll look at it on our website, Lumina. There's a box there you can click on, find out all the information. And if you like it, which I think you will, come join us. Bring some people. If you're the ministry leader, you come join us and bring a bunch of folks with you. That's what it's designed for. You know, New Life isn't just about conferences and radio. We're about transformation. And if you want to help us, well, call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and you can be a supporter of New Life for the great things that God is doing through us. All right, here's Becky and Alice.
Right now, I want to go to Kenneth, who's calling us from Wichita, Kansas. Hey, Kenneth, how are you today?
I'm blessed by Jesus. Thank you very much.
Amen. Well, we just wanted to hear your comment you had for us today.
Well, my name is Kenneth Clark, and first of all, I want to thank God and, for Steve Arterburn and the New Life Foundation for being there for me through prison. I spent the last 4 years in prison, and the whole time I was in there, I listened to New Life every day, and it was very, very encouraging to me. I went through and read the Every Man's Battle book, and I learned a lot every day. I hear different people tell stories, and it very encouraged me. I never been into a church until this weekend. I was married twice, but I was forcefully going to a church. And, you know, I just felt honored to be able to listen to you guys, and I've been waiting for the opportunity to call. And
we'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. It's Becky Brown with Dr. Alice Benton, and we are taking your calls. And we are so excited for Kenneth, and we just appreciate you giving us a shout-out. It's amazing that they can listen to New Life Live in the prisons, and he is encouraged by it. I want to send him a copy of the Life Recovery Bible as he continues to move forward in his free life, and hope that you all will pray for Kenneth as he moves into life outside, and just want to have that support. We're going to go talk to Linda right now. She's calling us from Collinsville, Texas, listens on KWRD. And Linda, we're glad you called. How can we help you today?
Well, hi. I have a question. I have a sister who's 4 years older than me, and we have had a very, very strained relationship. A lot of it is because she's a very critical, pretty controlling person. A little preface this by saying my oldest sister, she and her husband were killed in a car accident back in 2003.
Oh, no.
Mm. And we've lost a nephew also, but that was more recent. Actually, my whole family, we kind of avoid her because she brings so much, it's just a lot of hurt, a lot of critical, can't do anything right around her. We also help take care of our aging mother. We had full-time care. My mom had dementia, but we would come home a week out of a month. She would come home 1 week, I would come home another, and we'd stay and take care of things. But even that was hard. Under so much scrutiny and criticism, there was just so many things that happened. And now our relationship, I avoid her. She's blocked on my phone. I tried to talk to her not very long ago, and it turned into a horrible deal where she's texting me, and it's just all this. I mean, and here's a little one thing she told my husband several years ago, that he should divorce me and just get on with his life. After my sister passed away, and she felt, I told her, I said, I think you wish that I would have died and not her, and she didn't say anything.
Linda, yeah, this like, family is tricky. So what would be your question for us?
I've gone to the Lord, and I've prayed, and I've asked, and I don't see a lot of change. She's been through a bad marriage and a divorce, and I think she's got so many hurts that she's lashing out.
Mm-hmm. Well, we get that. We get that she's in a lot of pain, and you guys have been through a lot, and she's got a lot of negativity. How can we help you? Like, what would be the most helpful for you in this situation?
To be able to reach. Well, I'm going to cry.
That's okay. There's a lot of pain.
I got to get up for myself. I would really like to have my sister.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't always like this, but she's always been kind of the mean one. I mean, she's a very headstrong person, but she also has a lot of good qualities. But
so the question would probably be, how do I maintain a relationship with her?
Or how do I even go about trying to even put myself back out there?
Mm-hmm.
To do that,
okay.
With the gut feeling that it'd kick you just as easy as look at you.
Right, right. Well, it's tricky. Alice, what would you like to offer to Linda?
Linda, in hearing your tears, I hear your compassion and that you still have hope despite the hurt and the conflict. Your sister has done great damage with her words and with her controlling behavior. Yeah. So it says a lot to me about your heart that you still want relationship with her. And you're right. There are things that you can do to try to have relationship with her.
Okay.
But it will be then up to her of whether or not she's willing to become safer, to be in relationship with you. So I think God keeps the desire in your heart to have relationship because he may want you to reach out and to try again, which is risky because it may not go well. You may very well be hurt and you may be rejected, but it's still good to try. And your conscience will be clear and clean if you take the step to make the effort. So I already see the necessary ingredients in what you've been telling us so far, the compassion and the hope that you have. So bringing to her that desire for, sister, I want relationship. I miss having a closeness and I want to be close with you. I hope that we can. But I've got to admit, there have been some things said that have caused a lot of hurt and they've made me back away and be protective. So I wonder if you want relationship with me as well, because if you do, I think we can do some work to be able to get this wall down and to be able to communicate again. But it can only happen if you're willing to hear a little bit from me about how you've hurt me. And if you're willing to start changing the way that you talk to me. But sister, I know I'm imperfect in this too. So I'm also open to hearing the things that I've done that might have added to the problems between us. And lastly, Linda, I would have you add, I also know you've been through that bad marriage, that tough divorce, and I know that you're hurting. So if you're willing to look into this with me, I think there's hope for our relationship. Linda, what do you feel and think as you hear me role-playing this for you?
Well, no, it's good. And actually, after my mom passed away, we did some of that. And I actually, I said her name, so I don't know if she's hearing this. Oh, boy.
That's okay.
She did apologize to me for some of the things that she's done. And then, you know, I did too. And we have she has her best friend that she grew up through school with. And this best friend and I actually do things together. We love to ride horses. We love to fish. And so we go and do things together. And this friend sticks to my sister closer than a brother. I mean, she is awesome.
You know what, Linda, you have even more leverage there then, because you have another person who has influence over your sister and has relationship with her. So it makes me think about the biblical principles of what we're supposed to do with someone who has sinned and continues to sin against us, that at times we need to bring a witness who also has a voice to speak into the situation, and the best friend might be a great person to do that. You also have something to build off of, because your sister has apologized. She has a little insight. She might even have a little humility. Now, what determines whether or not she's safe, though, is not the apology, but rather the behavior after the apology. Is she willing to change the way she talks with you?
The other part of this, too, Linda, is that now I'm sure you are not perfect, right?
No, well, heavens
right,
no.
Right.
Heavens no.
Well, and the reason why I say that is because sometimes in family situations, it can be so hard to see how they experience us because they are so glaringly, like, overwhelming. And so I love what you're suggesting, Alice, that the friend could be maybe a mediator, but I also think it would be helpful for you to have a counselor for maybe, you know, maybe having that mediation happen with all four of you, you know, the counselor, the best friend, and the two of you, with the resolution of, you know, can't we just get along? Like, you know, there's all this venom coming towards you. I have one question, too. You mentioned that a nephew had passed away. Is that her son?
No, it would be my younger brother's son.
Okay.
And,
okay. Well, I just didn't know. Well, it's hard because people who have really painful things that are happening to them, they share that pain all over the place. And you are a safe person, obviously, for her to just unload on. And it's difficult. She doesn't do that with her friend. She's not doing, the friend's not doing that with you. But I think that's the best way to move ahead. And then here's the hard part. Let's say you do all of that and nothing changes.
Uh-huh.
That's when the really hard stuff starts. It's that willingness to let her just be who she is and grieve the loss of another sister. And, you know, you wish that it could be different. You hope that it could be different. And you try to work things out, but it just may not be that way.
The thing that I trust in is I know God is faithful.
Yes, He is.
I know that as we prayed the other day, that God can reach her heart.
Yes.
We just prayed that God would take that heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
He would heal the hurt and start tearing down those walls, because I'll bet if that would happen, she would just cry and let some things out. She doesn't have to be that person that knows everything and knows how to do everything, and that's what she's put a lot of pressure on herself to always be right. She thinks I'm always wrong.
Linda, you're going to be God's hands and feet in this. You are going to be the salt and the light. Okay. You already have been, and you're going to be again with your willingness to have this conversation, and we'll be praying for the outcome also.
Yeah, and we're going to send you a copy of Healing is a Choice, because that's going to be the process that's happening. You know, whatever the outcome is in any relationship, there's still healing that has to occur. And it's possible, even if the relationship doesn't get back together. Thanks so much for calling, Linda. And we'll be praying for that situation to have some resolution. Right now, we're going to talk to Willis, who's talking or calling us from Killeen, Texas, and listens on KBBW. And we're so glad you called, Willis. How can we help you today?
Hello, yes, ma'am. Hi. I'm a disabled vet, and my wife and I are going through some terrible marriage problems right about now, and I haven't been a perfect person throughout our 18 years of marriage, but I'm a born-again believer, and God survived me from a stroke, and both of us through COVID-19, and here I am now. And I just want to know if it's in my best interest if I should just move on with my life, because I know that He wants us as believers to be happy. And right now, I'm miserable.
Well, that's from time to time.
Well, Willis,
But I still have joy. Okay. Well, yeah. So your question is whether you stay or you go in the marriage?
Because of my condition.
Okay.
I don't want to relapse back because of my condition. No one is.
Willis, relapse back into what?
I said I had a stroke in 2019. And God survived me from that.
Are you afraid of having another stroke if you stay with your wife?
Excuse me?
Are you afraid that you'll have...
I'm under a lot of stress, ma'am.
Are you afraid you'll have another stroke if you stay with your wife?
No, I don't know what may happen.
But you're afraid for your health if you stay with your wife and your happiness.
I'm afraid for my health, ma'am.
Okay.
That's what I'm afraid for.
So, Willis, I respect that you said you are imperfect and she has done some very hurtful things. Would you tell us one or two of the things you both have done that have damaged your marriage?
Right now, we have no intimacy at all. Okay? I stepped out, but it has been years.
So there's been a history of brokenness in the relationship and no real healing. And so you're just trying to figure out what to do next. You can hear the music,
And
we'll come back to you after the break. But, you know, it's hard when there's a lot of things that are kind of disrupting that connection. And I think we can help you with it. I don't, you know, it's so hard when you're under that pressure, should I stay or should I go? And there's usually about 12 other steps, no pun intended, in the in-between to make that decision. And we'll give you some insight, hopefully, Willis, when we come back, and we'll see how that goes.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. It's Becky Brown and Dr. Ellis Benton answering your calls today, and so happy to be able to do that. Right now we're talking to Willis, who he's struggling in his marriage. He has served our country, and Willis, thank you so much for that. Mm-hmm. But you're trying to decide whether you want to stay in the marriage or go. And so...
Yes, ma'am.
Do you want to add anything else to that before I give you some thoughts to think about?
Well, it's just petty stuff like money issues and things like that she keeps bringing up. And, if you have moved past it, why you bring it up then?
Well... So,
really, you're not past it if you come on now.
And Willis, is that the worst part of her contribution to the problems in your marriage, that she keeps bringing up the past against you, throwing it in your face?
Excuse me?
I'm wondering if that's one of the worst things that your wife brings to the marriage, bringing up the past, throwing it in your face.
The neglect as a help me. Mm-hmm.
You're not feeling the support. What I'm hearing when you just describe that conversation about financial struggles is it's frustrating because you don't feel like you guys are on the same page going towards the same goal. And in marriage, you know, that's really important because there are a lot of stressors in our life that just are a reality. And so if that comes into the home, there's no way to find that relief, which is what Mylon and Kay talk about all the time in How We Love. I would, you know, my hope for you, Willis, would be I think it would be important for you to have some support around your own recovery as far as your physical needs. Your concern about having another stroke, you could have more information from whether it's the physical, like a medical doctor who can say, here's what you need to watch for, or this is, you know, this would be helpful for your health. Then I would also encourage you guys to get with a counselor so that the three of you, the counselor, can kind of unwind some of this disconnection. I guess that doesn't even make sense, does it? You're not connected, so how can you unwind it? I want you guys to be able to really talk through some of the things that are separating you. It's such a big deal to end a marriage that I think that the pressure of that without some sort of preventative care ahead of time could also be really damaging for you. It's never easy to do the hard thing, but it's worth doing. Alice, do you have anything else that you want to offer to Willis before we go?
Willis, I can understand that your wife's physical, sexual, emotional distance from you creates despair in you, so much so that you don't think you can survive this marriage if you stay with it. And Willis, I have to say something that will be difficult for you to hear. Although God wants us to experience joy and contentedness, He doesn't tell us that unhappiness is a legitimate reason for us to leave a marriage. He tells us that there are two reasons we can leave a marriage. He gives us permission, although he doesn't prefer that we leave a marriage. He prefers that we stay to work on it and to do the work. Whether or not our spouse is willing to, He wants us to do the work. So He says that if there's infidelity, then that's a reason a legitimate reason for divorce. Or if we're abandoned by our spouse, that's a legitimate reason for divorce. But because, Willis, you were the one that was unfaithful, you are the one that has the obligation to do more work on yourself for the sake of your marriage. Your wife has power over how she decides to treat you, but Willis, I don't think you're aware of how much damage you did with your infidelity and how much it still hurts your wife and keeps her at arm's distance from you. I don't know that you've done sufficient work to become safe enough for her to desire and feel able to re-engage with you emotionally and sexually. So my challenge to you is that you need to do work on your own sexual integrity, even if you've been sexually sober for all this time. But I don't think you've done sufficient repair work with your wife's heart. And when you do that work, there's a high chance that she may start to soften towards you and to be more willing to engage with you.
You know, our Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is such a great place for couples to figure that out. And so I would want you to check that out, Willis, and see if there's a date that's near, you know, something that would work for the two of you. You know, whenever we're talking about the end of a relationship of any kind, we have to do absolutely everything possible to save it before we end it, because we will just repeat that same thing in the next one and the next one and the next one, just thinking that somebody else has the answer. But we can really find some clarity and be encouraged by that. But I appreciate you calling, Willis. We're going to send you How We Love. And we also appreciate all of our Club New Life family. They are like family. They provide for New Life in ways that we couldn't do the ministry without their help. And if you want to be part of Club New Life, you can give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And it's a monthly giving program that you can help us continue carrying the message out. People need help. In this time, it's very crucial that people, some people will never see a counselor, but they'll hear the show or they'll get a resource. They'll go to our website. They'll watch one of the shows on YouTube. Some way they will have a message of hope and help. And because of our Club New Life family, that's why we get to do it. We're just so grateful. And you can join it as well. We're going to come back after the break and continue answering calls.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Hi, welcome back. It's Becky Brown with Dr. Alice Benton answering your calls, and we're so glad to be here. You know, there's many ways that you can listen. If you miss the show on radio or on NRB or YouTube, you can also listen on our app. You can go to newlife.com. We hate to hear the thing, oh, I can't hear you because I'm at work during the day. Guess what? There's this thing called the internet, and it makes New Life Live available. And the best thing is you can pick and choose what shows you want to listen to. So if you want to listen to Dr. Alice Benton all day long, you can just click and find the shows that Alice is featured on, and you can see us on our YouTube channel as well. And we'd encourage you to subscribe there. Steve does Going Deeper every day at 5 o'clock on Facebook Live, but we have the shows there, and you can see it's just it's a great way for us to connect. I can remember years ago when New Life wasn't that accessible, and it, you know, it was so hard to get to the radio, or you'd have to like sit in the car. You couldn't go into the building that you, you know, you'd park outside because you wouldn't hear the answer before you leave the radio, right? Do you remember that?
Yes.
And now you can carry it with you all the time. So we're glad to be able to reach out to everybody. Right now, we are going to reach out and talk to Christine. Hey, Christine. She's calling from Charleston, South Carolina, listens on Sirius XM, and we're glad you called. How can we help you, Christine?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My daughter has four children, and they're in a public magnet school. And her second child, boy, Blake, is 9 years old in fourth grade. And they just went from online virtual teaching to the brick and mortar, so they're back in school. And he came home one day and says, Mom, remember Anthony, who I used to play soccer with during our recess? And she says, yeah. And he said, well, he came to school in a pink dress with pierced ears, and he wants us to call him Lily. And, you know, it's very problematic. I mean, she understands this is child abuse. She agrees with me when it's done that young. And, you know, kids haven't even reached puberty yet. But I was wondering, and then we've come to find out later, which is really sad, that the child was in foster care and adopted by two lesbian women. So, you know, they obviously want to turn him into a girl. But my concern is Blake. And, you know, homeschooling just isn't an option for her. And I guess what I want to know is, what's the child developmental stages at that age? 9 years old. She sat down and explained to him that the boy is probably confused. You know, he doesn't realize that, you know, he's got boy parts, so he's a boy, you know, and God made him to be a boy. She, I mean, she had that conversation with him, but just what's going on in his little head?
In Blake's mind?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alice?
Christine, we love when grandparents call in out of concern for their children and their grandchildren. So thank you for being an active presence in the lives of your family members. And it's apparent to me that you want to be a spiritual influence in your family as well, and that you want God's word to be a driving force in how your family views the world. I want to start with challenging one thing that you said. And that is that this couple, this lesbian couple, obviously wants to turn him into a girl. And I want to look at that statement with you for a moment. I think you could be incorrect about that. And the reason why I think that's important is that's a very strong judgment of those two women and of their intentions. Mm-hmm. You may be right, but we live in such a confused culture in this area that their hearts may actually be in the right place, that if this young boy expresses he thinks he's a girl, that they might think it's in his best interest to allow him the freedom to experiment and to decide. Now, although I don't believe that's in his best interest to do, it's certainly what the culture teaches us today. So I want to slow you down on judging those women, that they obviously want to turn him into a girl. So as you hear that from me, give me your reaction, your thoughts of receiving that challenge from me.
Sure. I mean, yeah, maybe they had good intentions to give this child a home. But, yeah, I disagree that he wants to be a girl because of Blake's relationship with him. You know, I don't know. That was never communicated, you know.
This gender dysphoria tends to come out of a great deal of confusion and often loss and sometimes abuse. And the fact that this boy is in foster care already means he's gone through a great deal of loss. And so it's not a surprise to me that he would be questioning his identity and trying to figure out who he is in the world, who he is in relationship to these women that have adopted him, that we've got to look at this, that they open their home to him and that they're willing to love him and to care for him. And so there is something worthwhile there, that these women are willing to mother this child. I'll tell you, I have three children, and my boys, I have an 8-year-old and I have a 3-year-old boy. And both of my boys have wanted to play being girls. They want to play being like me. They want to put my clothes on. They want to try my shoes on. And that, at times it has startled me, because I'm afraid of what the culture teaches. I'm afraid of what's so embraced by the world today, because I know it's not God's plan for my boys, and I know it's not in their best interest. But questioning and experimenting is normal. It is a normal part of the growth process.
I also, so you
no,
asked,
I understand that, yeah.
So, Kristen, your
sister, and yeah, they dress up a lot.
Yeah. So you were asking about.
I understand that. But when you encourage them to go to school, I just think that's a little bit different.
You were asking about how to help Blake with all of this, right?
Yeah. I guess I'm asking you, too, since you're a psychologist, what's his developmental ability to take this in,
Well, kids are
like,
pretty.
What is this?
Kids are pretty accepting.
Resilient.
Kids are pretty accepting. Mm-hmm. They just, and so when they have questions about things, I think the best approach is to be able to talk with them about it. And then be curious and say, what do you think? How are you feeling? What do you, it's important to you as you're bringing this up. Tell me more about it. That's literally, where you want to go with that. I love what you said, Alice, about, we're not in that house, so there's no, there's really no point in going over to that house, like as far as even in your thought process. You do have a grandson that you have influence with, that you can love, and you can create a loving person in him by helping him not be judging and helping him being accepting. There are so many things. This is just an obvious thing, and it doesn't sit well and all of those things, but you can help him. How can you be a friend with Lily? How can you be a friend with Anthony? Whatever way he shows up, how can you be genuinely Blake to him or her, depending on what the situation is?
And it's appropriate that we restate God's standard for this is how our family chooses to live. And I teach my children this, that God says we're to grow into the sex that he assigned to us, that God gave us, that God formed us this way. You're a boy, and you're always going to be a boy, and I celebrate the fact that you're a boy. Now, other people choose to do things differently than we do. And I don't believe that that's God's standard that they're living by, but it's our job to love them with what they're choosing to do. We don't agree with that behavior, but we love them through it.
That's good. Does that help, Christine? Will that help you as you be the best grandma ever?
Yeah.
And pray. I think one of the most powerful things is to be praying for this next generation and to teach them God's word and God's way, because they are the hope of our future. They are the church of the the future, and we just need that so powerfully in our lives. I'm going to send you a copy of How We Love Our Kids. That'll give you some insight as Blake continues to grow and mature and becomes who God has created him to be. It's really, like you said, Alice, I love when grandparents call. I'm a grandma now. I got three of them. And it's pretty amazing to know that you have influence. They're going to talk about you after you're dead. And if you can give them the love of God and they can have great memories of that, what a blessing to them. We need strong families. And it's good when you have somebody who is of the older generation that's speaking life into the next generation. And I think that's what that's all about.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll be back in a few minutes, and we're going to continue answering your calls. If you need any help, you can go to newlife.com or you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We are there to help you with all kinds of things. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. It's Becky Brown with Dr. Alice Benton, and we are taking your calls. And we're also talking about some important things in just what's happening in our lives right now. You know, fear and anxiety is a real difficult thing that a lot of people deal with on a daily basis. I just recently had the privilege to work with Steve on a book. It's going to be out next year at some point, called 100 Days of Freedom from Fear and Anxiety. And in working on that book, you know, doing the research, and the book kind of marries what Scripture says, as well as what, you know, the research and also just some thoughts about how people struggle with fear and anxiety and the hope for freedom in those areas. And one of the things that that was really important to find, or what I thought was really revealing, is that a lot of times people deal with anxiety in such a long-term effect that it starts to become normal for them.
Yes.
And it burns up a lot of energy all the time. Like they're running on like 150 miles an hour. Now, I'm not talking about mania. I'm talking about just that constant buzz that's underneath the surface. And some of you who are listening know what I'm describing, because it's everything from just that high energy that's internal, that as you go into any situation, it might be, you know, you wake up in the morning and you have a startle, you know, a strong startle reflex. And then that level of tension and anxiety and concern just amps up over the day. Everything from managing whatever it is that you're managing. It could be a house full of kids. It could be an office full of papers. You know, there's lots of different things that we take in. And so here was the interesting thing. There's a concept called defense mode that people that deal with this, there's a high level of anxiety internally, and the world is coming at them. The colors, the sounds. I mean, you think about media in and of itself. You turn on the TV, mm-hmm. there's all different kinds of commercials, and they're like 15-second commercials. When I was growing up, commercials were like a minute and a half, and they had this song, and it was like a mini television show. You know, life was much slower then. Well, now it's not. And so I think, you know, when we're talking about anxiety, it's like, how do we deal with it? And it's not a matter of, you know, just take medicine or just pray, or, you know, because a lot of people will say that. They'll say, you just need to pray more and God will take this from you. That's not exactly how it works, because we have this physical body that responds to that anxiety. Our brains are made differently. You know, there's a lot of things that impact that. But Alice, do you deal with the anxiety in your office a lot? Do you hear people struggling with that?
I certainly do, and in my own body as well.
Okay.
And I like that you point out, sometimes we're unaware of the level of our anxiety because it has become our norm. And so I'll have folks ask me, how do I even know if I'm anxious? It's an important, legitimate question to ask. And we have to look at a couple of different things. We have to become aware of the tension and discomfort in our own body. This is actually how I realized I'm an anxious person. I didn't know that I was previously. I realized I couldn't take a full breath, that my chest muscles would be so constricted in my anxiety that I could only breathe at a shallow rate, a shallow depth. I couldn't take a full breath. And it was that realization one day on a hike, along with the anxious thoughts that run in my head that I can't stop easily. So when you see those things in yourself, that you're not able to slow down, you're not able to relax, and you can't shut off the anxious thinking. Also, if you find yourself flipping into irritability is often a cover for anxiety. Mm-hmm. Those are all signs that we're struggling with anxiety on the inside, and we probably need to take a multi-pronged approach to the solution, because you're right, it's not just praying, it's not just medication. But when we combine a spiritual approach against anxiety, because I consider it one of the fiery darts of the enemy, it's a strategy that the enemy uses forces to attack us and to keep us in a heightened state of apprehension. And God gives us a lot of ammunition against the enemy that we can use with what he has to say about fear and all that he tells us not to fear. Mm-hmm. You all know, I've shared this on the air before, that in my own struggle with anxiety, I go on medication for anxiety every so often. I usually take an antidepressant. And about 2 months ago, I realized yet again, all right, it's time for me to dip back into that. I need that additional help. But I also engage in my own work, at times my own therapy, and I'm always in a group support. People I can go to on a regular basis. I can text in between our group meetings to say, I'm ramping up again. I'm getting anxious. I need to confess it. I need the prayer support and the encouragement.
It's awesome to have that awareness, too. And I'm sure, listeners, you, when Alice is talking about not breathing deeply, you probably were like, okay, I got to take a breath. I mean, literally, we are so unaware of how we move about in the world. Mm-hmm. So here's an interesting thing. With addiction, alcohol, drugs, addiction, well, actually, sex, shopping, eating, it is an attempt to calm down anxiety many times. I mean, you can make the connection with drugs and alcohol. It's that, you know, I just need a drink to relax. And I just heard somebody talking about this the other day, and they said, I recognized that I had a problem because I went from, I didn't need a drink to relax. I drank casually or, you know, socially, to work got really stressful. And so I began looking forward to that drink at the end of the day. And then all of a sudden it was two drinks at the end of the day. And then before you knew it, it was like a box of wine every day. You know, there's just mm-hmm. this buildup because you don't have the tools to quiet that internal anxiety. And if it is a if it is an issue that you have to take medication, the dangerous thing is that you're taking medication and then you're drinking. Mm-hmm. Like there's all kinds of components. And, you know, I've known some people in my life that have dealt with it. But ironically, one day, Mylan was talking about pleasers when he talks about how we love. And pleasers, he recognized as this internal component of anxiety, that they were not calm unless everybody around them was happy. Like, that's just like the identity. And it was like a light bulb went on for me. I was like, oh, my gosh. I so identify with that and didn't even think of myself as an anxious person, but could totally relate to, I feel more calm when everybody else is happy. Well, that's kind of a really hard place to be because not everybody's happy all the time. So in my own growth and my own recovery is recognizing, okay, how do I have that center of calm so that when things go wrong, and they will, or when somebody's upset, and there's always somebody that's, you know, got something going on, that I don't have to, you know, get all caught up in whatever they're dealing with. Now, some of you who know me are going, well, Becky, still got some work to do. And we do. But I can, tell you that the life recovery journey has helped me in so many ways, and the 12 steps has been a big part of that. Go ahead, Alice.
As you mentioned, the different ways and even the unhealthy ways that we cope with our anxiety, I'd also point out how much our online activity can mm-hmm. be an escape. And it's something to evaluate in ourselves and also in our children, especially during this time where so much more of our focus, so much more of our entertainment, even a lot of our schooling is being done online. And yet, all that online activity can become an unhealthy escape, a way to suppress the anxiety, a way to cope with the anxiety, but it does not resolve the anxiety in the long run. And as you mentioned, Mylan, his comfort circle has been the quintessential answer to me for anxiety, so mm-hmm. that I can take that structured style of listening and ask for it from the people around me when I'm anxious and it calms me down. And I also offer it to my children when I see them coping by escaping into certain behaviors.
Mm. Well, you know, I love that so much. If you need help with anxiety or fear, give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We've got resources that can help you. We've got counselors that we can direct you to and groups as well. Thank you, Alice, and thanks for listening today. We'll see you next time on New Life Live. God bless you all.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.